So this morning, if you've had a tough week, would you just tell God, God, this week has been tough. Maybe you're like me and 2020 has just been tough. Forget the week, it's been the year so far. Would you just tell God what you need this morning? Maybe this has been an amazing week for you. And you've got a lot to celebrate, a lot to be thankful for. Would you just tell God how grateful you are, how thankful you are for the things that He's given to you? Then as we think about these seniors and these graduates, would you just say a prayer for them? That God would reveal Himself to them, that they would fall madly and passionately in love with Him. That these songs that we sang this morning would truly be anthems of their lives, that they would follow Him anywhere, that they would build their lives upon His truth. God, we love You this morning. And Lord, we just say thank You. God, it has been a really, really weird year. And God, for these seniors that have missed out on so many things, God, they haven't even walked yet, God. But Lord, they've graduated. And we say thank You. Thank You, God, that You've brought them to this point. And thank You, God, that You've not forgotten them. Thank You, God, that You're going to take them on to that next stage in life. And God, You're going to be there with them then. God, whether they fail or whether they succeed, You're with them. Lord, thank You that that truth that is true for them is also true for us because You are a God who never fails. You are a God who never forsakes. And so, God, this morning, would You help us to see that? Lord, as Isaiah prayed, God, Lord, we pray this morning that, Lord, You would open our eyes that we might see You. God, open our ears that we might hear from You this morning. Open our minds that, God, we might begin to understand You deeper. But, God, most importantly, I ask that You would open our hearts so that, God, we might truly experience You this morning in such a life-changing way that, God, You change us from the inside out because, God, that is what we need most. We love You, Lord, and we thank You. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Graduates, you've made it. Let's give the graduates a hand. Some of y'all was questionable. Like, I remember you in the fifth grade. Yeah. I remember the stuff you would mix together in the Kelly Smith cafeteria and then eat and get your friends to eat. And it's a miracle that that didn't stunt anything, you know. But we're glad to have you here this morning. I know that the end of 2020, your senior year, was not the way you planned it. You know, there was no senior prom. There was no walking the halls at the elementary schools. There was no school, really, for the last 9 weeks. You know, it was virtual, which virtually you did nothing. And so we applaud you for that. But, I mean, it's been a tough time. So we as a church said, you know what, we still want to honor you. We want you to know that you're valuable to us. And I tell you, Grace family, thank you for being a place that doesn't say this is the church of tomorrow, but that says this is the church of today. That you guys have placed value in the next generation. The youth band up here this morning, you guys did an amazing job. Thank you for leading us in worship this morning. So we truly stand behind you. And not just behind you going, oh my gosh, I can't believe, but we stand beside you, cheering you on the whole way. Because man, you guys are going to go on to do some amazing things. You're headed out into the world to do some awesome things, okay? You'll do many things in life. Some of them will be good, and some of them will be bad. Some of them will be wise, and some of them will be stupid. But you're going to do them all amazingly well, okay? Amazingly good and amazingly bad, amazingly wise and amazingly stupid, because that's part of life. You're not going to live it perfect. If you question that, come see me. I'll be happy to share with you all of Miss Jen's faults, okay? Wait, no, I'm just kidding. She has none. I have them all. But I mean, you're going to make some decisions in life, and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. And we're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. But we want you to know that we're here for you in the good and the bad. You have a body. You have a family. that's at home, not just your mom and dad, but in all of us in this room and all of those that are gathered online, that we say, hey, we love you. We care about you. You go out into this next chapter with many gifts and with many talents. Some of them you can actually make money doing, okay? You go out with many hopes and with many dreams. All of us in this room have been there. I mean, I look out this morning, I was thinking about it. This is 27 years ago for me that I sat in their shoes. And I remember like it was 27 years ago. All of us remember that. Like some of us can look back on our memories and we see them in black and white, like the black and white televisions. Remember that? I mean, I remember watching Walter Cronkite and Captain Kangaroo. Like you guys are like, seriously? Like you guys know what I'm talking about, right? No? Yes? Okay, good. Wow, you need to get out and watch TV a little more. But I mean, like black and white, we remember our stuff like it was in black and white. And then some of us remember our memories like they're in color. Like, you know, the first color televisions that came out, the vivid color that it was. And then there are those of us that remember it like it's ultra high def resolution, you know, like it was just last year. Because it was just last year, okay? But we all remember this. We remember the excitement. We remember the dreams and the hopes. But the one thing, the greatest thing that you have, and not just as graduating seniors, but in all of life, is passion. Passion. Passion is described as a feeling of intense enthusiasm towards or compelling desire for someone or something. Passion can range from eager interest in or admiration for an idea, a proposal, or a cause, to enthusiastic enjoyment of an interest or activity, to strong attraction, excitement, or emotion towards a person. Graduates, you and your generation are passionate about so many things. Some of them just because of a mentor or a teacher or a YouTuber or a blogger or a podcast has said to be passionate about it. Some of them you're passionate about in wisdom, and some you're passionate about in ignorance. But it's not so much about the passion that's important. The most important thing about your passion is your focus. Because where you focus is where you go. My dad taught me this when I was driving a car, that you got to keep your eyes going ahead. Because the minute you look off to see about that deer that's on the side of the road, yeah, you're going to aim at the deer. It's really kind of weird how that works. It's like, oh, look, there's a deer. You know, and then you go. Now, as you get older and become a more experienced driver, when you want to look left, you steer right so that you stay straight, okay? Just little words of wisdom for you guys as you grow up. And, you know, that one's free, okay? Your focus determines your direction. What you focus your passion on determines the direction for your life. So the question then becomes this: what should we be passionate about? If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8. I know for some people you're like, wow, Isaiah, you're going Old Testament. You're going old school. Yes, old school on this one. This verse was brought to my attention back in 1998. That's how old school, okay? And Isaiah is older than that. But this is an amazing passage about passion. And it was brought to my attention at a conference called Passion, which is still around to this day. We go to Passion Camp. Thank you, Louis Giglio and the guys there. And then as graduates, you get to go to Passion with Miss Jen now. Welcome to the college and career class, okay, which happens at 9:20 just upstairs in that room behind this wall, okay? We'd love to have you guys come and be there or come hang out at our house for free food on Sunday nights. It's great. But, you know, this idea of passion, listen to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8. Yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. So what should we, as graduates, but not just graduates, because it'd be really easy for the rest of us who aren't sitting in these first three rows to just like check out. Like, yeah, I'm here to recognize them. Woohoo, go check out of the whole thing. Clap when we see them come up, all that. But this is for us too, because passions come and go. Passions flame up and passions flame out. Passions can get drowned out by life in itself. Well, I've got to go to work. I'm not passionate about that. I like the paycheck, but ugh. You know, I mean, we can get swallowed up in the mundane and in the ordinary. But Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8 shows us what we should be passionate about. It shows us the focus of our passion should be, one, God's name. There's a lot in a name. A name means something. Seniors, if you've never done this before, go home and Google your name and see what it means. Like, I remember my parents gave me this little bookmark with embroidery on it, and it said, Ryan, little king. Like, yeah, like that. I, like, looked at my mom and, where's my crown, you know, like, not crayon, crown, you know? Like, where is that thing? Like, where names mean something. I used to be that guy who I'd read the Bible and I'd get to the Old Testament where it was like, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so was the son. And I was like, skip it. Don't skip those. Go back and do a name study on what that person's name means and then look at how their life went. And you'll begin to realize that there's something in a name. And in the name of God, there's some amazing things. Because here's the deal. You ready? God is the creator of life. He created you, students. He created you, graduates, as unique individuals. Thank God there's not another one like you. Some of you I would take carbon copies of. Some of you I definitely am glad God broke the mold on, okay? I think it could be said the same of me. Like, wow, thank you, God, for breaking the mold on PR that there's no others like him, okay? But he's our creator. He created you for a purpose. He's your sustainer, your provider. God will be with you in the middle of life. He will give you what you need to make it through today, not tomorrow, but today. And when you wake up tomorrow, he'll give you what you need to make it through today, because tomorrow becomes today. We're never guaranteed tomorrow. But remember that God is your sustainer. He is your provider. He's also your judge. I'm not your judge. The church is not your judge. No one on this planet is your judge but God. God knows right from wrong. God is the measuring stick. Here's the cool thing, you ready? He's not just a judge to say, hey, what you did was wrong. Because when he tells us what we did was wrong, is to get us back in line with him to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I messed up. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry, God. And he does it to get us back into a relationship with him. Because God is always about the relationship. But here's the cool thing. He's also our friend. He's your best friend in all the world. Students, when you're sitting in your dorm room late at night and you feel alone because mom and dad aren't there and you haven't made friends yet and it's only day one of college life. Yeah, I remember when my mom and dad left, sitting in my dorm room going, what do I do now? It's too early for dinner. You just go, okay, God, I don't know anybody here, so I'm just going to go out and start making friends. You know, you just go out and start meeting. God is your best friend. He'll be with you in the good and in the bad. But here's the most important name of God, Savior. He loves you enough that he sent his son to die on a cross for you and for me. And in the middle of your darkest days, it's great to rely on the fact that, man, God is my Savior. Listen, it's not about making a name for yourself. See, we always think, man, I'm graduating. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to conquer this. I'm going to become that. I'm going to put my name in lights there. I'm going to be the CEO there. I'm going to make millions of dollars. I'm going to be a great mom or a great dad or a great whatever. Listen, it's not about making a name for you. It's about making a name of Jesus. Pointing people not to myself, but to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. But Isaiah doesn't just stop there and say your name. He goes on to say your renown. And that's kind of a funny word, renown. Like, we don't use that a whole lot because I don't like nouns. I never could figure out what were the nouns and what were the pronouns and what were the adjectives and the adverbs when we had the diagram sentences. You guys are like, diagramming what? Yeah, that was a weird thing, okay? Renown simply means this. What has God done? The things that God has done, his accolades, his accomplishments. That list is astounding. I mean, to look through, graduates, your little bios in this is amazing. Like, I look at that and go, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that you've done this and this and this and this and this and you're only 18. Some of you are only 17 and you've done some amazing things already. But the list of accolades for God is long. Amen. Wouldn't it be nicer to know that we live a life that is all about the name and the fame of God? Our lives, no matter our age, no matter our occupation, no matter our major or our minor, our lives should be lived in such a way that we live for the glory of God's name and for his fame. Listen, some of you have been with me for a long time in student ministry. This isn't a new message for you. This is a reiteration. If you haven't figured it out yet, this is like the most important thing. Like, this is when it became real for me. I graduated high school and it was great, man. I lived with mom and dad. I grew up in the church since I was negative 9 months old. You do the math. And so I grew up in the church all my life. I knew who Jesus was. I gave my heart to him as a little 8-year-old kid who was, you know, selling drugs and robbing banks at 8. And so it was just life-changing for me. No, I mean, as an 8-year-old, like, how much trouble could you get in? Like, I told a lie. I, like, put gum in my sister's hair. Like, you know, I mean, just little things. Like, as an 8-year-old, I gave my life to Christ, but it wasn't until I went to college that I truly became serious about my faith with God. Because it was no longer mom and dad's faith. It became Ryan's faith. It became what Ryan knew about who God was. And understanding that, man, my life, for my life to matter, I had to live for something bigger than me and someone bigger than me. And that person is God. So let's get practical. How? How do we live a life with a singular passion for the name and the fame of God? Romans chapter 12. Flip over to the New Testament in Romans chapter 12. Some of you know this passage really well. Paul is writing and he says, I urge you, brothers, that you would live a life in such a way that you make your life a living sacrifice to God. And I remember reading that going, what does that look like? Like, am I supposed to cut my wrists? Like, you know, what does that mean to live a living sacrifice? So I want to read from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase called The Message. Listen to this. You ready? So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Did you catch that? God's helping you at every step. He's never left you. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. That's right. Your everyday, ordinary life. He goes on and he says this, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Every morning, get up and just say, God, here I am. Here's my day. Would you rule it? Would you be in charge of it? Would you tell me what you want me to do and where you want me to go? Would you direct me in all things? That's what it means to live a life that is a living sacrifice to God. God, here is what I have, and I offer it to you. So we should take our lives and place it before God. But Paul goes on and he says this, embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Embrace what God does for you and what God has done for you. Because he does a lot. And he's done a lot. If all God does is give us salvation, guess what? I could take the rest of my life now and all eternity and still not scratch the surface to say thank you for salvation. But God has done more than that. He's allowed you to get to this point. He's given you the smarts. He's given you the brains. He's given you an amazing family. He's given you a huge support group, graduates. Adults, God's given us a lot to be thankful for as well. Embrace those things. Embrace what God has done. And then it says this, don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. In other words, listen, students, you're getting ready to graduate and go on to college. Welcome to college life. Some of you are going to move on from college and you're going into a career or a tradeship or something, but you're going to enter the world in such a way that it will challenge your Christian beliefs because the world is the world. I don't know why sometimes we get upset when the world acts like the world does because they don't know Jesus. But we know Jesus. Paul encourages us and he says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. doesn't mean that, hey, we should take and pull ourselves into a bubble and say, hey, I'm not going into the world. Like, I'm just going to sit back here. We're going to read our Bible. We're going to do our stuff. We're going to school. We're doing our thing. I'm not going to interact. No, Scripture says to be in the world but not of the world. It's important for us. The world needs what we have. It needs Jesus. He is the answer for all things. So instead of becoming well-adjusted, look at what he says here. Instead, fix your attention on God. Or in other words, put your focus in a singular person, and that is God and God alone. Amen. You'll be changed from the inside out. Where you focus is where you end up. Where you focus is where you go. And so my prayer is that you will desire a relationship with God, because he's madly and passionately in love with you, students. He's madly and passionately in love with you, adults. That he wants you to live a life with one single passion, and that is to love God with everything you've got. And to love others as you love yourself. I was introduced to a song years ago that I think sums all of this up, that I hope becomes a prayer for you. And that song is called One Pure and Holy Passion. We're going to put the words up on the screen because I want you to see this as we wrap up our service this morning in this message time. It says this: give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you, to grow as your disciple in your truth. The world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Listen, as much as what this is a message for our seniors, it's also a message for us as adults. Because I remember what David prayed: Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Some of us this morning have lost our passion. We've lost our drive and our desire to know God above all else. And I pray this morning that God would begin to stir in you a desire and a passion for him. Would you pray with me this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and God is asking you, Eric, not yet. God is asking you to have a relationship with him. Maybe you've given your heart and your life to Christ. But maybe you've lost that passion. Would you just say, God, would you restore to me the joy of your salvation? Would you restore to me the passion that I once had? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even have a relationship with God, but God has been pricking your heart, like your heartbeat's racing, your palms are sweating. You're like, oh man, I need Jesus. Like, I've lived my life for me, but man, this morning God is just dealing with me. And you say, you know what, Pastor Ryan, I want to give my heart to Christ. It's real simple. There's nothing magical about the words. It's simply this: Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need you. Amen. If you want to ask Christ to come into your life, would you just pray this prayer in your heart? Just repeat after me: Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need you. Jesus, I know you died on the cross for my sins. And this morning, I put my faith and my trust in you. I ask you to move into my life and to become my Lord and my Savior. If you prayed a prayer something like that this morning and meant it for the first time, man, I want to celebrate with you. We're not going to ask you to walk an aisle. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. If you're on Facebook, just hit us up on Facebook, and we want to help you take those next steps. But if you prayed a prayer something like that this morning and meant it for the first time, would you just simply lift your hand and put it right back down? I want to pray for you. Awesome. Anybody else? Amazing. We stand ready to help you take that next step. Would you come and talk with me or with Pastor Terry? And we want to help you understand what it means to live a life with Jesus. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, for the privilege and the opportunity to gather in your house and to sing worship songs to you, to hear from your word, to honor these graduates. God, I pray that you would put upon us, as graduates, as adults, as children, as youth, as grandparents, as parents, as aunts, as uncles, God, would you place within us a desire, God, an overwhelming passion to live life for your name and for your fame. Because, God, what this world needs is not another doctor, not another lawyer, not another pastor or another homemaker or another vet or another military person. God, what this world needs is a Savior. And it needs someone who is sold out to you. So, God, would you burden us for our friends and for our community, God, to share your love and your grace and mercy with them. We thank you, God, for this morning. We ask that you would continue to be with us and speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to move to a time of our service where we actually get to recognize our seniors. So I'm going to ask Miss Jen if she'd help me. We have certificates for you guys this morning. And I just ask you as a church, as we call them up, you can actually put faces to names, and you can see some of these kids, and would you just take time to pray for them? We're going to ask them to come back up at the very end of the service so you can come down and shake their hands and hug their necks and things like that, but we want to recognize you this morning. So Gracie Davis, we're going to go in alphabetical order. Come on, Gracie. Graduating early, amazing. Morgan Davis, oh, I like that. Little pomp and circumstance for you guys. Proud of y'all. Max Gilson. Congratulations, buddy. Proud of you, man. Dylan Lewis. Congratulations, buddy. Proud of you, man. Colby Michael. Proud of you, buddy. Good job. Trevor Rhymes. Congratulations, buddy. Proud of you. Riley Smith. Good to see you, buddy. Proud of you. Connor Svoboda. Look at that. I even got it right. How about that? Congratulations, man. Thanks for going into the Navy. Matthew Thompson. Congratulations, buddy. Way to go. Joy Tucker. Congratulations, Joy. Proud of you. Delaney Vance. And we won't forget you, I promise. We saved the best for last. Parker Wright. Proud of you, buddy. Good job. Way to go. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your class of 2020.
Thank you for being here. It's been a few months since we've been able to come to the table of the Lord with a lot of us. So thank you for being here. We're so glad that you're here. Just a few things about communion before we move into our time. If you're a guest with us today, you are very, very welcome at the Lord's table. Understand that our theology, and we believe it's biblical, of course, says this is the Lord's table. It's not my table. It's the Lord's table. It's not the church's table. So if you know Christ today, you are welcome at the Lord's table, and we invite you to come. Now, we do not believe that the elements actually transmute or change substance. Some of you may come from traditions where you believe that. We don't believe that's true. We follow in the tradition of John Calvin of the Wesley Boys, who believe that when you come to the table of the Lord, it is a significant time in the calendar of the church. And the Spirit of God hovers more closely during this time than at any other time. We absolutely believe that. It's for that reason, in 1 Corinthians 11, we read that some people have fallen asleep, have gotten sick, or have fallen asleep. That means they've become ill or they've died because they've come to the table of the Lord in an unworthy manner. So here are the qualifications to come to the table of the Lord. And if you meet these qualifications, you are welcome. First is you have to know the Lord personally. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This isn't a club rite of passage. This isn't a club, right? This isn't, you know, sort of the corporate secret handshake of the church. That's not what this is. This is a time where we celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. And if you know Christ personally, you're invited to his table. Second, in just a minute, we're going to spend just a few minutes in prayer, where you can pray and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. I can't help you with that. Ryan can't help you with that. No one down here can help you with that. Only the Lord can help you with that. So in just a minute, we're going to pray and give you a chance to confess your sins. But know that this is a celebration time. Man, this isn't a time of mourning or being morose or sedate. This is a celebration time. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Amen? And we get to celebrate that together as we come to the table of the Lord. So join me, if you will, in prayer. Let's take a few minutes and reflect and pray and confess. So join me, if you will, as we pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your table. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Father, we thank you for all of your kindness for us. Lord, you have been so gracious. You redeemed us. You did for us, Jesus, what we could not do for ourselves. Thank you. And now I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you could take just a minute and confess your sins. Now, there's two types of sins the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there's sins of commission. Those are willful acts that you commit. But there are also sins of omission. In other words, when God says do something good and you say no. When God says obey me in this area and you say no. You hold back. So if either one of those sort of apply to you, just take a few minutes and confess those sins to the Lord. Well, Father, thank you for hearing our confession of our sins. Thank you, Father, that your word is true, that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for that truth. And now, Lord, as we come to your table, pray that you would meet each person at the point of their need, at the point of their question, at the point of their struggle. Holy Spirit, be more real to them now than ever before. Father, speak to them in a way that they need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Stand with me, if you will, as I read the scriptures. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Now in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns.'" Paul writes, and Jesus proclaims, that as often as we do this, we're remembering the price that was paid for our sins, which is something we should be eternally grateful for. Now, as we come forward, I want to just remind you, because of the crisis time that we're in, of how we're receiving communion. If you'll put your hands out, the servers who have gloves and masks will take the cups and they will place them in your hands. Please don't reach. Please don't grab. Okay, let them place that in your hands, okay, for you, and then partake of the elements as you go back. The cup method, if I'm right, if my memory's right, this method actually started during the flu epidemic back in 1916. So COVID-19 gets its credit now, so we're just trying to be safe here. And so please come. Please partake as we pray. This side, if you'll come this way. This side, if you'll come this way. And you guys in the middle, if you'll just sort of eyeball it, that'll be great. And let's pray, and then let's come to the table. Father, we love you and we thank you. Lord, we thank you so much that you loved us enough to extend your grace. Jesus, you died for us. You resurrected. And we praise you forever for that. Now, as we come to your table, pray that you will be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come to the table. Has everyone had the opportunity to receive elements that choose to do so this morning, to participate at the Lord's table? Everyone had the chance to do that. And as you make your way back to your seats, please partake of the elements at your leisure as you go back. Well, I want to invite you to join with me as we pray the way the Lord taught us to pray. It's here in the front of your bulletin. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Many of you have it memorized. Join with me as we pray the way the Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And amen. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for coming out today to celebrate our graduates. And here's what I know and believe. I just know and believe that great things are to come in this group. They're very talented. They're very gifted. They've worked very hard. They have faced a senior year like really none other in our country for 100 years, really. I mean, it's really been amazing what they've had to go through. And it's made you stronger. It's made you better. It's given you more resolve. We're going to look forward here at Grace, truly, of hearing of great exploits from your life. And I mean good exploits, Parker, right? I don't mean bad ones. All right? So good exploits from your life. Great adventures are going to happen. He's mine. I can say that. But great exploits from your life. Good things are going to flow. I tell you, it's going to be phenomenal to hear what's going to happen in the days ahead with this group. And understand this, graduates, let me say something to you. Look at me. Let me say one thing to you. One thing to you. Listen to me. This is always a safe place to get up. It's always a safe place to get up. If in life you experience failure, defeat, disappointment, maybe that'll come by your choices. Maybe it comes just because life happens. Because life happens. This is a safe place to get up. Nobody in this room will ever put their foot on your throat, keep you down, shame you, condemn you. We're here to build these values into you. And so remember, wherever you roam, and I hope there are cool places, whatever you get to do, and I pray it's amazing stuff, this is always home for you. And this is a safe place to come. Amen, church? Amen. No matter what, amen. This is always a safe place. So graduates, come up here if you will, because we want folks to be able to see you. As you come by and say hi, please don't hug their necks. That's the social distancing thing. So wave at them or whatever. If they're yours, do what you want to. But for the others, you know, just wave at them. Tell them you're going to pray for them. Come on across up here if you will. As they're doing that, just a few things before we leave. We're receiving our offering these days by our boxes. So if you came prepared to give, that's for Grace Fellowship partners and regular attenders, not for guests. But if you're a Grace Fellowship partner or a regular attender, please, if you don't mind, putting your offering in the boxes. And also, really, really important, these little communication cards right here that you have, please take a minute. If you haven't filled it out, fill it out. Put it in the boxes, too. You guys graduated, and this is hard. All right. What, Gracie? So, on the back, prayer request. Very, very, very important that you put your prayer requests. We pray for you guys every week. We really do. We pray through our list. But it helps if we know specifically how to pray for you. So if you'll take a minute right there where you are before you leave, write out your prayer request, put it in one of the boxes. That will be awesome. And we will be glad to pray for you. Graduates, congratulations. Life is going to be great. It's going to be fun. If we can help and bless you in any ways, let us know, because we want to do that, to be sure. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we love you and we thank you for today. And now, Lord, as we leave this place, help us to take the gospel to the streets, to the people that we meet and the places we go. And Lord, bless these graduates. Lord, each and every one of them are valuable. They're important. They have key positions in your kingdom to play. I pray, Lord, that they'll want to find that position and they'll do it to the best of their ability. Father, open doors for them as they move ahead. Protect them from horrible friends and relationships and influences. Father, help them to walk free from that. Lord, if they're going to school, bless them with their academics. If they're getting a job, bless them with their career. If it's the military, Lord, watch their six. Father, just be with them and bless them. And we believe only great things for them in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.